Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you for this wonderful time here this week. We thank you for the word gone forth and every spiritual transaction that took place to your glory. We just praise you for that, Father. And we just ask, Father, that tonight and tomorrow, that you just finish your perfect work that you were seeking to create in us, both individually and corporately. And we give you praise and call it done in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, just a short review, I believe. The first day we talked about the divine requirement and the importance of every Christian having a revelation of that. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. Now, and I mentioned that from this principle comes understanding, to understand the fullness of not only the Father's heart, but the Father's plan. And so it is extremely important this day. And the wraps are coming off, all things. And so those people who are truly seeking God are going to be a blessed people, an empowered people to go forth and to fulfill that very plan. And then we talked about divine empowerment and the absolute principle that what God commands, He empowers. Again, you know, there's much revelation comes forth off these statements when one truly seeks God, when one has that seed planted in their heart and allows His light to continually shine and expand that exactly the way that we need to have it expanded. Again, both individually and corporately, that you can't separate the two. And then we looked at some scriptures. We looked at Psalm 1 and Joshua 1, which talked about the importance of meditating in the Word day and night. Extremely important. And also the fact that the Lord is with us wherever we go, established many places in the Scripture. It's important for us to realize that, to believe it fully, in order that we might face whatever comes triumphantly and overcoming from an overcoming place or a place of overcoming. And then we talked about the importance of words. The product of that meditating in the Word day and night produces a heart filled, even to saturation, with the Word of God. And then when we do that, we have the assurance, deep assurance in our heart, that not only will we live and move and have our being in Christ, but that out of the abundance of our heart, what we say will accomplish the Father's perfect result or perfect purpose in the life or lives of those with whom we have to do. This is a continual thing. This is why, again, Jesus talked about the life of abiding. So that we would continuously do this, so we wouldn't be a people who were in and out, in and out, in and out. Those days are ending. People are either going to be in or they're going to be out. Amen. In the sense of being able to hear God and being able to move in His perfect will, in His perfect purpose. But thank God, the positive aspect of that is that vast multitudes are going to enter into the kingdom. I'm not just talking about being born again and going on to live a religious life. I'm talking about, you know, born again, filled with the Spirit, baptized in fire, empowered to live a life holy for God in the remaining time in this earth. These are all glorious things. These are what we as a church desire to see come to pass. It's the Father's desire, of course, that's where we got that desire, to see that come to pass. Not just talk about it or hope about it. Yes, there's been a time of standing in faith and interceding and continually planting seeds in what looked like the most barren ground possible. But praise God, the incorruptible seed of God's Word is the most powerful force in this universe. And so we need to, in the place of refining that we've been, God bringing us to an absolute faith, we need to realize that there's coming a time when there is going to be tremendous answers to prayer. And I really firmly believe that a lot of things God is just holding back, and it's been part of our refining process. You know, do we really love God? Do we really love people with His heart, with His compassion? Or do we just try to fling out a few prayers and then stop. Well, no, that's not this people. And then many people become discouraged and conveniently use it as an excuse, unconsciously, to do their own thing in seeking for results. But I'll tell you, the people that have been faithful over these years to hold fast the vision, I'm going to talk a bit about that tomorrow. The people that have been faithful to hold fast the vision are about to have their prayers answered, you know, in ways exceeding abundantly beyond all they ever could have asked or thought, again, even based on the revelation of God's will that they have, because He is an awesome God. And He is a God of increase, and everything He touches increases. Everything He speaks expands, including the word spoken into our heart. And then we talked a bit about the fact that, well, we used the scripture in Ephesians 4:29, where Paul said, "Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth." Another absolute statement. No means no, means none. And so, you know, God has set forth these principles in His word so that we can come into that place. And again, I mentioned that it's when we, looking back over the years and all the different situations and all the training and all the things that had to be faced, which seemed so difficult at the time. Of course, looking back, they only seem difficult to the flesh. Because, you know, when one stays in faith, then ultimately they will see the perfection of God. They will see the wisdom of God in their circumstance and understand that His purpose all along was to bring them into the fullness of all they were called to and fulfill all that they were created to do and say in Christ. So it's a glorious thing. And we also talked a bit about the fact that God is leading His people into rest, into a true entrance into rest, a place where they are consciously or unconsciously, they've ceased striving in their own strength and are seeking God in all things. That's what it really truly means to seek first the kingdom. It means really seek first the will of God. It's all simple. It's all joined together. But with God continually having renewed our mind and transformed us, and believe me, we haven't seen anything yet compared to what we're going to see. And we'll see where it goes. I have a few things to share on that. But it's one of those things that Stacy mentioned today, that you come into a place where you have to wait on the Holy Spirit for words, because there are no words you could take all that you could come up with yourself, no matter how you could get into a dictionary and look up definitions of words, but without the anointing of the Holy Spirit and the unction of the Holy Spirit to speak them in the perfect timing, it wouldn't do justice. Amen. You know, and another thing, I thought about that today, just as I was thinking about the days to come, and you know, the people who are truly seeking God are no longer a people who are just looking for something new, something to kind of tickle their boredom, so to speak. You know, when you're walking or seeking to walk in an absolute faith, you're not going to be bored. That's for sure. And so, as God releases these things in the midst of His people, He's releasing them to a people whose hearts are wholly given and whose hearts are pure and who desire to receive them and who are going to take that and not just use it as some sort of soulless exhilaration, but rather allow Him to expand what He's saying in their lives, in their particular part, and they can bring that part to the body, each one of us. And then what a corporate explosion of revelation we're going to have. It's going to be an amazing thing. It is an amazing thing now. It's an amazing thing this week. Yes. You know, I was just in my room there a short time ago, and I was praying, and you know, there really wasn't too much to pray, to be honest with you. And you know, in the spirit, I could just see every person involved here, consciously see or visibly see everybody in that place, far above the problems of this world and all the different things, far above. And we know that that's the place that God wants us to abide in and move and live and move and have our being and from. That to be our spiritual location, because from that location, it truly is a whole different ballgame. Yes. It truly is a whole different ballgame. And we're going to all experience that to a continually greater degree as we remain faithful. Faithful to God. So we talked some then about authoritative prayer. See, this is all a progression, putting the Word in our heart continually. And out of that abundance, you know, having the deep assurance that we're in the center of the Father's will. Because sometimes you know you're in the will of God and you're stepping forth and you're doing exactly what He says and you're seeing the results. And other times He's going to call you to do something or say something you don't really understand in that moment. But nonetheless, out of the abundance of that heart that's already in there, you're going to have that deep assurance. And I spoke a bit about the fact that's a very precious thing. Because when all hell tries to break loose against you, you'll be standing there waiting for Him. Not only that, but we are going to be a church that is in a place where, because the wisdom of God is abiding in us to a continually greater degree, we are going to be given things to do to preempt the devil's actions. He can set all his plans he wants. There's some plans he set up for years. And in an instant, God's going to use His faithful ones to bring those down. And this is the point of authoritative prayer and prophetic proclamation. You know, there's been a time, and I suppose it was a progression, although I think sometimes it progressed a little slower than it should have. But in the past prophetic movement, people would have a word and they would have a prophecy and it would be accurate. But sometimes there would be, sometimes there would be a mixture. Or even if it was accurate, hearts weren't quite ready to receive it the way that it was meant to be received. And so it's almost like at times that word would be put on the shelf and admired. Yes, isn't that a wonderful word? Someday we'll have that. But immediately, you know, when we... things will change now, because when we receive a word now through the anointed bondservants and handmaidens of God, we are going to be a people that first of all receive that word, and because we've been prepared, we're going to understand that word. We are then immediately going to proclaim that word in an absolute faith and allow God to expand that. And of course, then, you see, things are going to come to pass. And I believe it was Stacy that said today, there are groups all over the world, all over the entire earth, just like this one. Each one is of course, has its own individuality in Christ. But the fact is that they're all there and all being groomed for the Father's perfect purpose to come to pass. I've had the distinct pleasure of, because it's part of my job, is to bring these groups together, to be in these different situations. And, you know, each one is unique in such a glorious way. And I'll tell you one thing, though. Every one of them has been an extreme blessing to me personally. I mean, I spent a lot of years in the so-called cave. And there was very few and far between were the times when I ran into somebody that was truly seeking God and continuing to seek God. Somehow it just seemed that the devil was allowed to come in and divert people or move people off this way or that way, or keep them down in a place lower than they should have been. Amen. Because we have to maintain our position in Christ in order to hold fast the vision. We all know that a vision, a revelation, can dim very, very quickly if we come into the wrong place. We allow ourselves to come into some form of fellowship with the world or get a little too far away from the Word. And so, you know, God is setting these principles in place and bringing them to light in such a way as He's making it very clear to us. See, that's not the problem. They've always been clear, but now God's got a people in the earth who are truly seeking Him with all their heart. And regardless of what they've faced over the years, they are going to continue on to the end till they've accomplished all that they were created for in Christ. That's a precious thing to the Father. A precious thing. And I'll tell you, in the days to come, we will see that He will be unlimited for the first time in history. He will be unlimited in being able to do what He wants to do. I really don't know if I'm going to get into talking much about true spiritual environments. This is one. But the fact is, in a true spiritual environment, God can do whatever He wants to do, whenever He wants to do it, through whosoever He wants to do it through. What a wonderful thing that is. I mean, I can remember in the early days, I mean, it was just like coming in and that may be a little too blatant. I was going to say facing a horde of demons in the church I'm talking about. In a sense, it was true. But the fact is, and that wasn't so pleasant, as we all know, in the beginning. Now, if they want to dare and stick their head up, then... But they don't. There's been a very... I like where this is going, I got to tell you. This isn't exactly the way I thought. I like where it's going. There is a definite pain, spiritual pain, afflicted on the devil. Every time a saint of God opens their mouth in accuracy and faith and obedience, every time they act in love and obedience, every time they stand in the face of His greatest attack. I don't have it with me, but there's a... In the Woos translation in Philippians, I believe it's 2:28, it basically talks about the fact that stand strong in your faith, because when you do, it's a sure sign to the forces of evil that their destruction is at hand.
Amen.
So then we went on to talk a bit about, in John, about a bit about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You know, John 14, it says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Again, drawing together the principle, a kingdom cycle of faith working through, an absolute faith working through a perfect love, manifesting in a perfect obedience, which takes an absolute faith to continue on in working through a perfect love, and so on. And so we have to understand when Jesus says, if you love me, you'll obey me. He means it. Another reason why we need to be in that intimate fellowship day in and day out, so that we know what to do. And again, so we are so filled with His presence that we just go about living and moving and having our being. I got into a tough spot one time. My signals were jammed. I mean, Satan was doing everything he could to jam them. And that'll often happen when you're dealing with religious spirits. But I learned something that day because... I was jammed. My faith was strong, but I'm hearing these things come forth, and I just wanted to say something really badly, but the Holy Spirit just kept stopping me. So ultimately, these people that were talking to me came to the end of what they knew, and all of a sudden the anointing came flowing back in, I mean, tangibly. I mean, I knew the anointing was there, but tangibly it came in. And I had the wisdom that God wanted to speak into the hearts of these people. And I learned something that day, that He is with us where we go. He will give us the word in the time we're to speak it. Sometimes the problem is being that we want to get out ahead of ourselves and prove it. Because we do. You know, we do have a knowledge of His righteousness and the truth and so on. But very, very quickly, that righteousness that's ours in Christ can turn to self-righteousness if we take the truth and use it for our own purpose in any given moment, our own motivation. And that's why, again, that daily fellowship with God brings us to a place where we have a revelation of the cross, and we have a revelation of the fact that there is no good, no, not in the flesh, as Paul said. And consequently, then, we would rather harm ourselves than speak or do anything that would misrepresent the Father, misrepresent the Word.
Amen.
And I'm talking now about spontaneous manifestations of the life of God abiding within us. And again, hence the word rest. And, you know, we don't have to be a people who are moving out and trying to come up with something, to do something. Because I'll tell you, in the days ahead, when the fullness of God's Spirit is poured out through a true church, a spotless and unblemished church, the results are they're already incomprehensible. I'll tell you how incomprehensible they are, even in a word from the Father. He said one time, He said that my people need to be a people who walk by revelation. And we know that. And we need to be a people who are not ignorant of the enemy's schemes. He said, but that's not the only reason my people need to be a people who walk by revelation, they are going to have to come into a place of acclimatization. I believe Stacy mentioned that this afternoon. Acclimatization, so that they will be able to receive all that I have for them. All the wisdom, all the revelation, all the fullness of Christ, the fullness of the divine nature, as mentioned in 2 Peter. We're going to have to be acclimatized because the power of God is about to be unleashed in a way that this earth has never seen. Amen. And He is going to accomplish everything He's spoken. But I want to get ahead of myself. I'm going to talk about this tomorrow, about the visions and the revelations. Every last Christian walking the face of this earth has some form of revelation of God's plan, some form of vision that God has given them pertaining to their part in the body. And I'm encouraging you right now to hold fast, continue to hold fast to those visions, to those revelations, because they are going to come to pass. And soon. Soon. In ways that, again, are incomprehensible. And then in John 15, we saw another scripture. It said, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. See, it's abiding in His love where our empowerment comes from. Amen. When we abide in His love, the Spirit of God is poured forth in our hearts. Romans 5:5 says, to a continually greater degree. A continually greater degree. And what does 1 John 4:18 say? It says, perfect love casts out all fear. Right. You see the progression? You see the cycle? The provision has been made. When we are obedient to seek, diligently seek God and to seek His light day in and day out. You see, Christianity is a lifestyle. Yeah. You know, I used to be a golfer. And it used to be a lifestyle for me. And other things are lifestyles. And the world just is into lifestyles. Boy, I mean, and they are dedicated to that. I mean, you know, they know what to do with their spare time. They know what to do with their spare time. And we need to be a people who are diligently seeking God day in and day out. Meditating in the Word day and night. A scripture I'm going to deal with later. Bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, or to the revealed knowledge that's in your heart. And then another scripture in John dealing with the ministry of the Holy Spirit was that He will teach us all things. He will bring to our remembrance all that, in this case, what Jesus said, but all that has been said to us. He will bring it to our remembrance. I love that scripture. There's another scripture in John that talks about the Holy Spirit will disclose or reveal things to come. We are people who are to live in the now. Amen. To abide in Christ, live in the now. But I'll tell you, when you live in the now, when you walk by faith and you bring every thought captive and you're just dealing with every situation, sometimes it's consciously, sometimes you're just flowing, but nonetheless, diligently seeking God and obeying Him at all times, then it's amazing what the Holy Spirit will do. First of all, He will disclose things to come. And I believe I shared in one of the last 2 days that at times when I was in a war, all of a sudden the Father began to speak to me about the glorious things to come. It blessed me. It blessed me. He knows how to minister to our heart. I wasn't expecting that. I really, to be honest with you, I was looking for revelation that I needed right at the second. Well, it turned out I already had it. But so the Holy Spirit brought to my remembrance in the other part of that ministry some of the things that He'd spoken to me before. You see, the revelation was there. And so, we are to be a people who are focused on Jesus in the now, seeking Him diligently. And then, whatever we need from the past, He will bring it to us. What Paul warned against was us going back there in our own strength. And what that produces is fear. The other one produces faith. So, you see, God has made the provision. So turn over to John 16. Just finish up a scripture here. And then we'll move on. Excuse me. John 16, verse 13. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. For He will not speak on His own initiative, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will disclose to you what is to come. Scripture I just mentioned. He shall glorify Me, for He shall take of Mine and shall disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he has taken of mine and will disclose it to you. Praise God. Turn over to 1 John 3. Now, we talked earlier about the importance of the blood of Jesus and having a revelation of the power and the effects of the blood of Jesus. It is extremely important because, for many reasons, but one of the key reasons is that if we allow a spirit of condemnation, a spirit of fear, a spirit of mistrust, any spirit that is not the Holy Spirit, and of course, a manifestation of the Holy Spirit, then we are going to have allow ground to remain in us that will keep us out of the perfect fellowship that the Father desires. Because when something happens and we do not realize that the blood of Jesus is real and alive and living, and we turn from that and allow shame and humiliation or whatever else the devil tries to lay on the saint of God in, then we automatically, spontaneously, in just the way that it's a positive thing when we abide in the Word, when we allow ourselves to bring thoughts captive to fear, we turn from God. And even in the time of our greatest need, we will turn from Him if we hold to something. Now, again, as I mentioned the first day, I'm ministering to people who've been through some wars and who are diligently seeking God. But what I'm saying now, you're going to run into many people who don't have this revelation. And again, they need to have a revelation of a loving God. Who's going to run to somebody who thinks they're going to do more harm to them? And of course, the devil's in the business of trying to convince people that he will. He's a liar. And so again, as I mentioned earlier, in an earlier part of the teaching, 1 John 1:9 is so important to have that revelation. Yeah. And I believe Stacy said this afternoon, you know, when you make a mistake, when you fall down, get up and go on. Right. It's not being held against you. It's not. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. So if we're faithful to move towards God, I mean, I'll tell you one thing, I mean, it's absolutely true. I mean, I've made mistakes before, and I'll tell you, God spoke to me when I wouldn't have spoken to me if I was God. I'm not God, thank God. and He did, and He's faithful. And you know, that scripture that says it's His kindness that leads us to repentance? It's true. He'll absolutely break that ground of fear with His perfect love in any given situation. And you know, that's again another spontaneous byproduct of us abiding in the Word, and coming to that place where we'll run to Him. And you know, pretty soon, you'd be amazed at how few mistakes you make. And as I mentioned earlier, I mean, you make a mistake, God will correct that. I believe it was Billy Brim one time was preaching, and she was talking about the Glorious Church. And God gave her a vision, and likened this whole thing of us moving through our course and making mistakes, but yet maintaining a heart that's wholly given to God. She said God showed him a vision. It was like a car going down the highway at 60 miles an hour, getting a flat tire. And before, in the blink of an eye, that tire was fixed and the car just kept rolling around along without missing a beat. And that's the way we need to realize that God sees us. If God was holding our mistakes against us, we all would have been done in a long time ago. I mean, see, these are simple things, but the devil can get in there, and we sometimes Christians can get into the place where they're unconsciously speaking and acting in a manner that actually believes the wrong thing and doesn't exercise faith in the blood of Jesus. We're going to see some things in the days ahead concerning the blood of Jesus. So 1 John 3, verse 21. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And again, that confidence before God produces that deep assurance in us, first of all, of our approval. You are approved of God. And it allows us a great confidence. We're not talking about self-confidence here. We're talking about divine confidence. We're talking about an active force working within us that keeps us on course and truly causes us to delight in our God. And I've seen a lot of that this week. A people who are thankful. I mean, look what he's had to put up with throughout the years. No, really. I mean, you know, and the father can take it. He's a big boy. But I'll tell you, in these days, as he moves forth to give the word of God preeminence, or to bring the people to the place where they are giving the word of God preeminence, where he is honoring the blood and every last ounce of that blood that was spilt, it is a dangerous thing to be found rebelling against that. And again, I'm going to talk a bit about that tomorrow, because he holds that to be a precious and dear thing to his heart. And so we will be a people that take the revelation of that blood, that precious blood, and all that Jesus did to the world. Verse 22, "And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight." In other words, we walk by faith. It's only faith that pleases God. What an amazing thing it is to have that desire burning in your heart to do nothing but please the Father, to please him. And what a blessing that is to his heart. You know, for too long, many, and we were in pretty bad shape, but too many were seeking, you know, the blessings of God, but the motivation wasn't right. The fact is that we are blessed to be a blessing. That's very, very important. That's one of the primary principles of the Abrahamic covenant. Blessed to be a blessing. And so our motivation should be, in these days, as we are coming into these tremendous blessings of revelation and every other aspect of our lives, we need to be a people who remain on the go and constantly seek the wisdom of God for how we can, again, bear that maximum fruit. How we can be the greatest blessing to our fellow man. Because when we are the greatest blessing to our fellow man, we are the greatest blessing we can be to God. And you know, one thing that the Father showed me, it was an amazing thing to me at the time, because I was so thankful to him, you know, at certain times. I'm just so thankful in the beginning, because I was beginning to experience freedom that I'd never had before. And it was allowing me to be the person I always wanted to be, but never knew how to be it. And so one day I was out praying, and I said, "Father, how can we show our thanksgiving?" You know, because you just want to show it, but you don't know what to do. You can say, "Well, thank you, Father," but it just didn't seem to be doing it. And he said, "The greatest act of thanksgiving in any given moment by my people is for them to take the next step in obedience." And that's an extremely important principle, and it will be found that way in this last hour. So, in other words, one scripture says, "Do not set your heart on the increase." Because as a people of God, seeking God, we are going to increase. We increase in knowledge each day, increase in the love of God, and everything else that we need to accomplish every kingdom work. And so, it was an amazing thing to me, because in the beginning I used to stop and kind of suck the blessing dry. I didn't mean to. That just was the way I was. It was like that "thank God it's Friday" attitude still remaining. Oh, well, you know, I went through all this. Whoa, now I'm blessed. Oh, I just stop. It's like Friday. You know, I can do what I want for a couple of days. And, you know, and then that would kind of, you know, get sucked dry, and then I'd be back in the same spot I was, you know, believing God for another blessing. And, of course, as God burnt the ground of selfishness and fear and all those things out, I began to realize that, and this is when he gave me that word, that no, if we're going to show our greatest thanksgiving to him, take the next step in obedience. And then when that blessing comes, take the next step in obedience. And then that spirit of thanksgiving is continually pouring out of our inner man to the throne of God. It's an amazing thing. Instead of just trying to thank him, you know, on our own power. Okay, so we'll go on with this. Again, that confidence before God, what does it produce? It produces, we are the righteousness of God in Christ. We've covered that a number of times this weekend, and it's amazing. I'm going to deal with a couple of scriptures dealing with our righteous God and see some of those manifestations of his will concerning that. But one is, you know, Proverbs 28:1 says, "The righteous are as bold as a lion." Now, I know everybody in this room understands that that hasn't got anything to do with pride and arrogance. We've seen bold people in the world. That's not a good thing, obviously. But we're talking about a holy boldness. And you know, as we move forward, I've seen this a number of times in action corporately and individually, of course. And the amazing thing is it runs the devil right off. Right off. You know, when God's people truly become walking with that divine boldness, it'll save a lot of time in prayer. Again, that's part of this authoritative prayer. When you proclaim the deepest will of God or the deepest thought and intention of His heart, He will watch over. He's watching over that word to perform it. It will come to pass. Third day, spiritual warfare is going to take on a little bit of a different look. We are a people on a rampage. We are on a search and destroy mission. And in the wake of the tremendous power of the Holy Spirit being released through the glorious church, Satan is going to have to simply drop a lot of the strongholds that he's formed in the minds of men in different areas and different locations. Again, the product of our intercessions. But as the glorious church truly begins to take legs, and God gave me a vision years ago, and it was like, I could vaguely remember this because I really don't remember it, but it was from Gulliver's Travels. And there was a scene in that movie that they had this, it wasn't a giant, it was a regular size. They were all little, I suppose, but all roped down and pegged down. Does anybody remember that? And so, Lord, show me that. And then I said, what is that, Lord? And he said, that's my body. That's representative of my body. And I went, oh. And then all of a sudden I saw these little men and women up there with, I don't know what they were, they had like axes, small little axes, and they were hacking away at those ropes, slowly but surely hacking away at these giant ropes. And it was taking a while, because they were just little people, and it seemed little. But that was representative of the intercessors and the prophets and people who were diligently moving and walking and seeking in the kingdom and walking in that place. And what happened was, ultimately, there came a place where this giant, who was, by the way, sleeping, the ropes were off, and the giant got up slowly, shook himself off a little bit, and then it was on a beach, and he began to walk slowly, and then a little faster, a little faster, a little faster, and finally he was running, fully awake, and that was representative of the glorious church taking legs. So you see, there's that time is here now. It's here now. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says that by His doing we are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom and righteousness. It goes on to say sanctification and redemption. Turn over to 1 Peter 3. Now, in 1 Peter 3, verse 10, it says, we talked a bit about, first of all, about the importance of words. 1 Peter 3:10? Right. We talked about the importance of words, letting no unwholesome word proceed from our mouth, being filled with the Spirit of God to saturation, so that continually when we speak out of that abundance of our heart, our mouth will speak the word of God, will speak the perfect word. What a wonderful privilege it is for us to be able to speak a word in with perfect accuracy to meet the deepest needs of a person's heart. What a tremendous blessing that is. I'm not going to go into it, but there was a time in my life where every time I went to say something out of my heart, something different came out of my mouth. That's not good for a marriage, I can tell you that. And it was one of the turning points in my life. I finally realized I'd got to a place where I was trying to do the right thing, and I did the wrong thing or said the wrong thing, and I realized something had control of me that shouldn't have. And of course, that was when I began to return seeking the Lord and getting into His Word. But we can be a free people, and it is an amazing thing to have the knowledge dwelling in our heart that we can speak the perfect Word, do the perfect thing in the perfect timing. to gain the maximum fruit that God wants to accomplish. And we are going to do that en masse in the days ahead. In the days ahead. It's a very, very high calling that we have as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Very, very high. Okay, 1 Peter 3:10 says, "Let him who means to love life and see good days refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking guile." Again, you see, your tongue won't speak evil. And there will be no motivations that proceed from self-desire if you have an abundance of the heart. The abundance of your heart is the Word of God, that you're filled to overflowing. You see, God, again, what God commands, He empowers. When He says, "Let no unwholesome word," or "Speak no unwholesome word," then there's an empowerment for that. Because we've all tried to speak the right words at times, and, "Well, bless God, I'm going to go in there and walk in love," and then the pressures come, and, "Uh-oh, I said something I shouldn't have said." You know what I'm talking about. But the fact is that there's coming a time where God is raising up a people, and that's now, that we will be speaking the perfect word with pinpoint accuracy at all times. And you know, you'll find yourself saying things that you didn't think you'd be saying. Because only God knows the deepest part of a person's heart. And unless He reveals it to us, we don't have a clue. But you know, another word that He gave in this last, He said in this last hour, "My people who are faithfully serving Me and who can be trusted with My word." I just lost that word. It'll come back though. Praise God. No, it's okay. I didn't. Those people who can be entrusted with My word will read the hearts of all those I direct across their path like an open book. Now, why can He trust people like that? Because they're not going to take that word, and they're not going to operate in a self-exalted spirit. There's no self-agenda on their part, because all they want is the Father's best for the people that God brings across their path. You see how that allows the Father, that how it frees Him up for people to operate in true ministry. But again, you see, the whole principle of the inner chamber is this: that we cannot impart to others what we ourselves do not have. And we will not have anything of value unless we have received it from God. Nothing at all. That's what Paul was saying. So it's a glorious thing and a glorious image that God is painting for those days, now and ahead. I've seen across into it. I've gotten a glimpse of it. I still don't have words. Not many. All I can see is glory. All I can see is the glory of God and things moving where I know there's activity there. And you can stop and you can think of some of the activity. Because we have to a certain degree, but I can only go about 20 seconds. I was out praying on that one day, and God gloriously blessed me with a vision. I mean, I think I would have exploded if He hadn't have. And it was this. I saw, and this will happen, I saw a city. And in that city I saw a large hospital. It was a large hospital. And I saw the glory of God rolling down the streets of that city. Now we've seen glimpses of that. Remember some of the old western towns? What happened there? We've seen glimpses of this. But what happened was the Holy Spirit was rolling down the streets of this city, and he came in, because it's being released through the body in that city, that the Holy Spirit came in and rolled through the halls of that hospital. Every last person got up and walked out. Every last person got up and walked out. I would say that might lead to the salvation of a few doctors. But see, that was just a glimpse. These are the types of things that will happen as the Holy Spirit is released in the fullness. Now that's a glimpse. You know, our job is to be a people, again, who become acclimatized to the presence of God. And then when He begins to move in measures like that, we're not all going to fall down. We're all just going to, even if we were acclimatized to a certain degree, we're not going to be stopped and stand still. We'll just say, "Thank You, Father," and keep moving. Amen. You see, He gave me another vision. And the fact was this. He showed me a snowball, a little snowball, a regular one you'd make. Don't get too many of those in California, obviously, but it was on the top of a mountain. And, you know, anybody who's ever been in a place, maybe you might know this in California, because if it ever did snow, you would have what they call packing snow. In other words, there's some water, like, you know what I mean, it's moisture, and when you pack it, it packs real good. And so this snowball, the momentum started, and it started to roll down this mountain. And it got bigger and bigger and bigger. And just the mountain, of course, is time. And as the snowball rolled down, it exploded on the world. The world was down here, and it just exploded on the world, and the power of God was released. And so even now, that snowball is rolling. It's just like, that just came to me right now. I just thought of one of those giant buildings, like an apartment building, an office building that's 40 years old and that's been condemned. What do? They put dynamite in, you know, special places or whatever. How they do that, I don't know, but okay, so back to 1 Peter 3, verse 11. And let him turn away from evil and do good, or do righteousness, do righteous works. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayer. Why? Because the righteous, those abiding in righteousness, those abiding in fellowship with him, have the desires of his heart, the deepest desires of his heart, emblazoned on their own heart. And what they speak is in perfect accordance with his heart. And so consequently, he will attend to that prayer. He is watching over his word to perform it. 1 Peter 2:9 says, "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Turn over to Psalm 71. Just a couple more scriptures here on this. In Psalm 71, verses 1 to 3. "In thee, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be ashamed." I will say this to you. When you take refuge in the Lord through perfect fellowship with him, you will never be ashamed. That's part of our covenant. "Fear not, for you will not be disgraced, you will not be humiliated." See, that thing can only get in from the flesh, in the flesh anyways. It's only fear that allows that thing in. When you have no fear, when you have no fear in a situation, the devil can't humiliate you. It doesn't matter what people say about you or to you. You just keep walking in faith and love. I'm not saying it's pleasant, it isn't sometimes, but I'll tell you, the glory of God will be resting on you. No, I don't believe I'm going to get into that today, but it talks about in Peter that when we suffer for righteousness' sake. Now, let's clarify this. It's really quite simple. We're not talking about the suffering that sin consciousness talks about. That means, oh, you know, like Vincent, you talked about it, but oh, I'm sick, isn't that glorifying God? No. The suffering we're called to is to simply resist all that we've been redeemed from. In other words, continually walk in faith. That's it. And when we do, God says that the Spirit of glory will rest upon us. That is precisely why the glory of God is going to be released to such a great degree in such a short time. It's because we are going to be a people who are walking in love at all costs to ourselves. And so as we continually resist whatever comes against us, whatever is not part of our inheritance, we've been redeemed from that mess, then the Spirit of glory will be released in some way, in some form. And you see, again, you know, the message I'm preaching to you and have preached to you is that we have a God of perfect purpose and a God of pinpoint accuracy. Well, if he's that, then we are to be that. And as we are that, then we will see a massive destruction of the enemy's schemes and people gloriously set free, again, to walk in a place where both feet are planted in the kingdom. Verse 2, "In thy righteousness deliver me and rescue me. Incline thine ear to me and save me. Be thou to me a rock of habitation to which I may continually come. Isn't that good? Makes me think of Matthew 7 about those who built their house in the sand and those who built their house in the rock. Same storm. It's just a matter of positioning. Believe me, the word positioning is very important this hour. And first and foremost, we have to position ourselves in the presence of God. And from there, we will be positioned accordingly. As God establishes these true spiritual environments that He desires to establish, He's drawing a people who are obedient. That's why you people are here. You're obedient. There are people who God's been speaking to over and over and over again. Come to this place. Come to that place. Be here. Be there. This is where they're still looking for answers on their own. That's why they can't see the place to be. As long as a person's looking for answers on their own, they're going to be in the wrong place, doing the wrong thing, in the wrong spirit. It's that simple. But praise God, we have the empowerment to be a people who, again, are doing the right thing, in the right timing, in the right spirit, by the power of the Holy Spirit alone. Verse 8. My mouth is filled with thy praise and with thy glory all day long. Again, another spontaneous manifestation of time spent with God. My mouth is filled with thy praise and with thy glory all day long. We talk about glory. We talk about wanting the glory released. Here it is. Just going back to that last scripture, be thou to me a rock of habitation, in verse 3. A rock of habitation. Verse 15, my mouth shall tell of thy righteousness and of thy salvation all day long. See the picture that God is painting through the psalmist? It's what we're called to do. All day long, and to release the fullness, the revelation of the fullness of our inheritance in Christ, our salvation in Christ. Verse 22, I will also praise thee with a harp, even thy truth, O my God. To thee I will sing praises with the lyre, O thou Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to thee, and my soul, which thou hast redeemed. My tongue also will utter thy righteousness all day long. For they are ashamed, for they are humiliated who seek my hurt. In these days we will be a people so focused on walking in the perfect purpose of God and in the empowerment of His love that we will not be distracted by the enemy's schemes. Because we will not have any self-focus. Our focus will be on Jesus. When the commandment was given to fix our eyes on Jesus, another absolute kingdom principle. When you fix your eyes on something, you're not looking all over the place. You try driving down these roads are narrow are windy enough, but you even on a flat, straight road, you go take your eyes off that road for more than the time, say, than you can, and eventually you will be to the right or to the left. And depending on how fast you're going. But the point is that the whole principle of fixing our eyes on Jesus is that it allows us to automatically move in Him. It's like when you're I was trying to think of a sports analogy, but I don't think I'll go there. Turn over to Matthew 6. I want to talk a bit about diligently seeking the one true light. Diligently seeking the one true light. Matthew 6, verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You could also say where your delight is. Remember the scripture in Psalm 1 talked about about the Word of God being our delight. You could put the word treasure in there. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is clear, focused, your whole body will be full of light. It is so important for us to have our eyes fixed in the right place. And of course, as we do that, then God will lead us to those things to fix our eyes on. It's Jesus, but I mean all the things that are necessary. It's very, very easy to look around and get in the wrong spot. It's extremely important, this matter of, again, this matter of positioning. And the only way, again, we're going to be in the right position is to come from the presence of God, or be in the presence of God daily, hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, being able to hear the still small voice. I just remembered. Oh, okay, just praise God. It'll come back. All right. Verse 23, but if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great the darkness. Jesus said in Luke 11:35, he said, take heed that the light that is in you be not darkness. Boy, that's an eye-opener. That'll catch your attention. That'll catch your attention. And we know that in this hour, there's an ever-deepening darkness being released in this world. And even though it appears that this is an age of enlightenment of sorts, it is not. It is not. Spiritually speaking, it is an age of deep darkness. But again, as I mentioned earlier, a great light is about to shine in the midst of that darkness. Again, we had a glimpse of that in Jesus. And we're going to see the fulfillment of that prophecy in the glorious church. Verse 24. No one can serve two masters. Another absolute principle. Should be easy to figure that out. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Again, an absolute kingdom principle. Now you can say mammon is money, but mammon is more than that. It's money, and it's all the things that money can provide for self-desire, anything that comes from self. So again, we're talking about a motivation here. And the absolute principle that I spoke to you of, the divine requirement, is to love the Lord our God with all our heart. Well, the counterfeit of that is to be totally sold out to self, or to live for mammon. So in this last hour, we're going to find people who are totally sold out to loving God with their whole heart, or totally sold out to loving money, the love of money. What was it Timothy said? The love of money is the root of all evil. So see, these are absolutes. You know, God has requirements and has pointed them out to us clearly and said, come here, come to me, and obey me. And the devil is trying to draw us off by getting us focused on the things that are outside the kingdom of God. I have a prophecy. I just want to share a short word that the Father gave me concerning light. It is continued obedience in the lives of my children that allows my light to flood their hearts. I love the way he thinks in terms of flooding. It's just like in John when he talked about, you know, out of your innermost being, rivers of living water will flow. Well, when he gave me that thing, he said torrents. That's what he spoke to me, torrents. Well, you know, we all know what rivers look like. We've seen rivers that are just sitting there. We've seen rivers that are moving a little, have a little current. And we've seen, you'll see them in Colorado, there are rivers that have torrents. And so this is the way God speaks. Allows my light to flood their hearts, thus causing the seeds which have been planted within, that is the incorruptible seed of my word, to grow and flourish into revealed knowledge. And as my children gain more and more revelation knowledge, it shall free them to go forth in my name with great boldness. Great boldness, you see, because revelation knowledge produces assurance, divine assurance. And divine assurance produces boldness, because we're being backed by God. We're being backed by God, Almighty God. That means that whatever He calls us to do, we know He, first of all, He's going to empower us.
and he will not let us down, and we will have whatever is necessary to accomplish his perfect purpose. That's a wonderful assurance. Why would we ever get into fear about trying to do something or whether it's going to turn out all right? We just need to find out what God wants done, simply follow the still small voice of the Holy Spirit, and we will see the maximum fruit, and we will at the same time have that divine assurance. Time doesn't matter. Time is not the factor in kingdom living. Faith and obedience are the factor. Faithfulness towards the Father and His Word must be continually cultivated by us. And there's a reason for that, because if we don't, the same thing that happens to a farmer's field, if he doesn't cultivate that thing, then that soil is going to be hard as a rock pretty soon. And of course, spiritually speaking, that prevents the entrance, the flow of His Word into our hearts, that incorruptible seed that the Father just spoke of. But you see, when this thing's put into motion, actually the Scripture says it's the entrance of His Word that produces light. It doesn't just say His Word produces light. It does. But it's the entrance of His Word into our heart. And so we've got to cultivate. And whatever that means, that's one of those instructions you'll get in the inner chamber. It's continually cultivated as we maintain proper fellowship with God. And then, of course, then we're receiving all the time. The Father is calling His people to accountability. And part of that is that we are not to be a people who walk by revelation. We are to be a people who walk by revelation or faith and not by sight or sense knowledge at all times. Now that's that life of abiding. Abiding in faith. Abiding in love. Abiding in revelation. Abiding in joy. Abiding in the Holy Spirit. Abiding in the fruit of the Spirit. It's all there. The empowerment's there. The Scripture was mentioned again today, Ephesians 1:17. It's hard to get away from that. It talks about the Spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. And we need to pursue that with all our being and heart. Turn over to Psalm 24. We're going to deal with some scriptures in the Psalms here, and some of these are, how can you have a favorite scripture? Because your favorite scripture is the one that applies in any given moment, isn't it? But there are some that are close to my heart because God used them as I meditate in these scriptures day in and day out and held fast my confession to them. And he changed me. And he brought these scriptures and made them real in my life so that there was a spontaneous outflow from that. He wants to do the same for every one of His children. See, we can't come into the true corporate unity unless we're all on the same wavelength. I mean, you can't be in the same location or be in different locations and be in the same location at the same time. You know, it's a simple thing. But like I said yesterday or the day before, the early church had very, very little revelation knowledge. But they had the one accord, and great power ensued. Okay, so let's go back to Psalm 24. Okay. It's all right. The earth is the Lord's and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it. For He has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? And who may stand in His holy place? He who has a clean heart, clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to falsehood and has not sworn deceitfully, he shall receive a blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of those who seek Him, who seek Thy face, even Jacob. That's a wonderful revelation, the Jacob generation. Those who seek His face. That's their number one priority. And He's a God that desires to be sought. See, every time we make a move in seeking Him, we are expressing love towards Him, returning His glorious love to Him. And the devil goes to great lengths to try and make that seem inconsequential or that nothing's happening, but it truly does. If one is not diligently seeking perfect fellowship with the Father and His Word in these days of ever-deepening darkness that is in the world, they shall surely be deceived. See, God is calling His people into that place of perfect fellowship with Him so that His light can continually shine in our hearts and direct us and lead us and guide us perfectly. And it doesn't make any difference what happens in the days ahead. We are going to be in that place of divine protection. Why? Because that's part of our covenant. We're here to do a job, and we're going to do it and carry it out perfectly. And we have all the tools. Vincent mentioned angels this morning. We have all the tools to get the job done. And like I said earlier, we haven't seen anything yet compared to what we're going to see. If one has any priority other than diligently seeking a perfect and abiding fellowship with the Father and His Word on His terms, then they are already deceived as far as their service to the Lord goes. Now, you know, Satan has this great network. I'll just explain this a little before I say that. I was praying one time, I was interceding, this was about 6 years ago, and I was sitting there, and all of a sudden God opened my eyes, and I saw this giant blueprint. Again, I shared before, He gives me visions of things I know nothing about. But I know enough, I've seen one of those, literally, those blueprints. And there's details all on them, and you can't understand them unless you're an engineer. And I was sitting with the Father and Jesus, and I saw through His eyes, and I could see every last scheme. It was just a whole network of schemes that Satan had. But boy, I tell you, I was blessed by that vision because I realized then what Paul meant when he said, be not ignorant of his schemes. From that, I was in that position where we're not going to be ignorant of his schemes. And I mean, I could see, instantaneously I could see, if I just go there and say that'll be, and so on, just like that. All right, and I believe God will let me get to it. I'll share. That really comes into play in this time, in the days ahead. Number three, the failure of one to abide in perfect fellowship with the Father and His Word in this last hour will surely result in the fueling of the rebellious spirit working in that one's life. Because you see, ultimately, it's only rebellion that will keep one away from God. In other words, at some point, people will make a decision not to fellowship with God or whatever that may be, or come to God. But it's rebellion. And the danger of this age is that if one maintains fear or maintains willful action in some form, then those spirits of rebellion will be able to work. They'll be fueled and be able to draw people into the wrong position. You know, and when people are drawn outside to a certain place, they can be attacked in a very bad way. But we are a people who are coming to know our covenant, and I'm telling you, as long as you're diligently seeking God, you will be in the right position. It's coming to position because the thing is coming down. And as long as we're obeying it, we will be in the right position. And not only in the right position to be protected, but in a right position to do something about any devastation that does get through. So it's extremely important that we are in the right position. Just over the page, Psalm 27. This really truly is one of my favorite portions of the Word. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? Now see, when I was first led to this scripture, you know, I just thought, I read that like this. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? But in my mind, it kept saying everything, everyone. And so I need to get that word in my heart and get my mind renewed to this, because God's asking you a question. Okay, the Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? When we truly have a revelation that the Lord is our light and our salvation, then the answer to that question will be no one at any time, or nothing at any time. The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? So revelation of the light, the salvation, the divine protection, He is the defense. He's looking out after us. We're His children. I mean, isn't it amazing that as earthly parents, you know, we are, and it was mentioned later in the scriptures, but as earthly parents, I won't say we pride ourselves, but we certainly take the steps to make sure that our children, particularly when they're smaller, are not introduced to some form of grave danger. How much more then will God be the defense of our life and look after us and do what needs to be done on our behalf? See, it's amazing sometimes when you take simple little things in the natural, because and what happens is people take them, but they don't take that direct principle, because we get all of our parenthood from God, our fatherhood, our motherhood, and so on. But then all of a sudden we don't apply it to God. Really, that's pride, isn't it? Actually, it seems that we believe that we're better parents than God. Now, that's a subtle, unconscious thing that lies there, but that's the type of silly thing that the devil can work in to cause us to lean on our own understanding instead of trusting in God with all our heart. You know, when our kids were 2, 3 years old, you know, they didn't, you know, come up, they didn't wonder when dinner was going to be on the table. They just knew it was going to be there. You know, it's a simple thing. But again, we're coming into a time where we're going to be a people who are operating in an absolute trust and faith in God. A child of God should never, ever be found mistrusting the loving and faithful hand of the Father. That is a real thing, the loving and faithful hand of the Father. Okay, let's go on here. Verse 2. When evildoers came upon me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and my enemies, they stumbled and fell. Though a host encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war arise against me, it's getting a little more intense here. In spite of this, I shall be confident. That's that deep divine assurance I talked to you about. I remember when God was teaching me these scriptures, and He gave me a confession, or I guess it just rose up in me, but it just strung a bunch of scriptures together, and it was something like this. It was, my heart will not fear, for You did not give me a spirit of fear, Father, but a spirit of power and of love and a sound mind. And I'm not staggered at Your promises through unbelief, but rather I'm strong in faith, always giving glory to You in all things. And I thank You and praise You, Father, that You're watching over Your word to perform it. Now, He just emblazoned that on my heart. I needed it. I did. I mean, there were times when I could barely utter those words, you know, with the pressures that were coming and so on and so forth at that time. But then it got to the point where it exploded out of my spirit, and it exploded right in the devil's face. And consequently, that's part of the renewing of the mind. You know, my mind was renewed and so on. And I'll tell you, you know, we should be a people that we even hear the devil rattle that chain, we should be all over him like a junkyard dog. That's just the way it should be. You know, I tell people, you know, that sometimes you'll have the opportunity to minister to people, and you just know they're dealing and dealing and dealing and dealing with something. You know, and they really, the root of that is, and I have great compassion for the people of God, believe me, but the reason is because they're holding on to it. And they're giving him ground to just kind of work them over. And I just tell him, just kick them out of the way. Don't put up with it. Because I'll tell you, God's already paid the price for us to be totally free. And we need to treat the blood of Jesus with the utmost respect. And so when we're walking in faith and we get angry against the devil, not flesh and blood, but the devil, we just kick him out of the way. I'll tell you, he doesn't like being kicked. He doesn't like being kicked. The scripture says in Proverbs that when you love God, you will hate evil. I'd like to expand on that and say that to the degree you love God is to the degree you will hate evil. And He's part of that mess. And so as we grow in the Lord, and as that love of God is shed abroad in our heart to a continually greater degree, then we begin to a holy contempt for the devil and all the strongholds, all the captives that he's held captive, comes into place. And you know what that releases? It doesn't cause us to go out and do something stupid or try and exalt ourselves. What it leads to is divine compassion. And that what that is being linked with the heart of the Father. And what that does is release the anointing in His fullness. It releases the anointing within us in the fullness that God desires. Again, another chain reaction that comes from our faithfulness and obedience in proper relationship with God. We try to handle things sometimes ourselves. We shouldn't do it. It's futility. It's futility. Okay, let's see. Here we go. Verse 4. One thing I have asked from the Lord that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord, dwell in the house of the Lord, all the days of my life, to behold the beauty or the perfection of the Lord, and to meditate in His temple. For in the day of trouble He will conceal me in His tabernacle. In the secret place of His tent He will hide me. He will lift me up on a rock. And now my head will be lifted up above my enemies around me. And I will offer in His tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing. Yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Shouts of joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Just over the page. Psalm 25. Verses 1 and 2. To Thee, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in Thee I trust. O my God, in Thee I trust. Verse 4. Make me know Thy ways, O Lord. Teach me Thy paths. Lead me in Thy truth and teach me. For Thou art the God of my salvation. For Thee I wait all the day. Verse 9, He leads the humble in justice, and He teaches the humble His way. All the paths of the Lord are loving kindness and truth to those who keep His covenant and His testimonies. Verse 12, Who is the man who fears the Lord? He will instruct him in the way he should choose. His soul will abide in prosperity. Another spontaneous manifestation of proper fellowship with God. Your soul will abide in prosperity. What is divine prosperity defined as? The ability, the God-given ability, for you to do whatever you need to do, whenever you need to do it, to whosoever you need to do it for, in any given moment. That's what divine prosperity is. And it could be anything in the realm that we live in, but it is the perfect provision for us to accomplish in any given moment the perfect will of God for our lives and in the lives of those with whom we have to do. And His descendants will inherit the land, the secret of the Lord. You know what that literally means? It means the counsel or intimacy of the Lord is for those who fear Him. In other words, when we reverence Him to the point where we're willing to lay down everything to come into that proper fellowship with Him, then He will reveal all that needs to be revealed in any given time. And it says in the next part, and He will make them know His covenant. He will make them know the fullness of His covenant. And I said earlier in the first teaching, we are to be a people that are walking and abiding in the fullness of our inheritance in Christ. Because again, what we can only impart what we have. And if we want to set the captives free, and if we want to see the fullness of the harvest come in, we will be a people walking in the fullness of that. And that's the truth. So as we come into that secret place of His presence, He will make us to know the fullness of His covenant. And that is a continuing thing in these days. It gets more glorious every day. 2 Corinthians 10 says that we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And I said earlier, what that means in a practical way is that we are, as we continue on a relationship with God day by day, in whatever situation arises, we are simply bringing every thought. You're not bringing a thought every second, 24 hours a day. There have been times when it seemed like that because you're in a war. But the thing is that when the need arises, when something has to be dealt with, then instantaneously we will bring every thought captive through speaking the truth. We will, and that's very important. You're not going to try and outthink the attack of the devil. That ain't going to work. It may work for 5 or 6 seconds, but that's not too long. No, you confess in the face of what the lie or whatever the attack is coming towards you. You confess it with your mouth. The revealed knowledge that's dwelling in your heart. And you see, to each, as you gain a continually deeper revelation of the presence of God day in, and His Word day in and day out, then, you know, I know I can speak from my own experience, I became more proficient at that. There were times where I'd get in a situation, I just shut my mouth and worried. But then I began to realize that He was just, you know, beating my brains out, and I was allowing it. So, you know, I began to confess the revelation was there. It's amazing. You know, when you're speaking with your mouth, everything stops to hear what your mouth has to say. I mean, everything in your own consciousness and everything in heaven. One preacher once said that every time you open your mouth, all of heaven and all of hell waits to hear what you got to say. Better be on the positive confession sort of thing. No, a confession that lines up with the revealed Word of God. Okay. Remember another word that the Father gave me? He said, in this, you must discern everything exclusively in the light of My Word. Hebrews 4 says, the Word is living and active, able to divide between soul and spirit, and the thoughts and intentions of the heart. I will tell you this, it's the only thing that can do that. In this time, I mean, you could see what's happening. Some of the things that the schemes the devil's trying to throw out there, they're subtle. And it's like you come to the end of a road and there's like a road there and a road there and a road there and a road there. And all of them could be right. Could be. They have a spiritual appearance. But only one of those roads is the road on which the right motivation will take. Proverbs says that there is a way that seems right, but its end is the way of death. And so it's a subtle time. We have to be a people who are sharp. Sharp. And when we have that Word of God abiding within us, we'll be able to discern between what is of the whole, what is of the spirit, what is of the soul, in us and in all those who cross our path. Going back to that word He gave me, He said, My people will read the hearts of the people who cross their path like an open book. But that becomes very, very critical. There's an accountability that comes with that. I want to go back to that. I mentioned a little word there before about accountability, that God is calling His people to accountability. I want you to know this because there's been all sorts of junk out there where, you know, they surround themselves with fools and who are accountable to them, and they call that accountability. That's not true. All true accountability, that's required by God, begins and ends before the face of the Father in the throne room. Begins and ends. There's accountability in between that. But it begins and ends with the Father, before the face of the Father in the throne room. Positioning again. How much time do I have? Doesn't matter. I'm not... I just... I can. Okay, perfect. I've only got 20 scriptures to go. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 3. Starting in verse 10. 1 Corinthians 3. Starting in verse 10. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and another is building upon it. But let each man be careful, or take heed, how he builds upon it. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man builds upon the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each man's work will become evident. In other words, what a person sows, they're going to reap. For the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire. And the fire itself will reveal, will test the quality of each man's work. Again, we have to understand that our God looks upon the heart. He looks upon the heart. He judges the thoughts and intentions of the heart. There's a lot of things out there that look good. I'm not going to go into this very much, but there's a lot of things out there that look good, but the motivation all along has not been of God. It's not been for God, would be a better way to put that. So there is a time coming. You have to understand that one of the logistics of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit through the glorious church, and the chief characteristic is going to be fire, in the sense that our God is a consuming fire. Now, fire is a wonderful thing. There's some fire. It's giving us a little bit of light, a little bit of warmth. You put your hands over it. It's a great thing. But to be standing in the middle of it, apart from Christ, is not a good thing, because it will burn and consume everything in its path. It is a spontaneous manifestation of God's presence. I don't want to go into this too much right now, but the point is that we need to be a people who are again, abiding in that perfect fellowship, and then everything we do will be that gold work, or that positive material. It'll be of God. And again, getting into a foundation, there are a lot of people that are more expert in this than me, but I know one thing. If you don't get that foundation right, that's one thing. That's bad. That's really bad, right? But then if you start to build on it improperly, it may look good for a long time, but ultimately that building is just going to... And so God has to come. Again, you know, we've talked about this in the past, but we have to be the perfect representative of God. And so all the good-looking things, they're not setting people free. They're getting people into deeper bondage. So we need to be a people, again, who are in the right place at the right time doing the righteous thing. Enough said about that. We know that. But you can expect a time where God is going to reveal what is behind everything. People who are seeking Him have nothing to be concerned about that whatsoever. Right. And I'll tell you, there are going to be some people that are going to experience the presence of God, and they're going to look around and they're going to say, what have I been doing all these years? But they're going to repent. And they're going to step in, and God has that position, because that's God. He has that position. It's still there. And there'll be some who become absolutely rebellious and insist that their way is the right way, that their way is God's way. And that's not a good thing. But you know, we're going to dwell on the positive. All we can do, as I said earlier, all we can do is come to that place of abiding in perfect obedience, knowing that whatever we do, whatever we say, wherever we go, is bearing maximum fruit for the kingdom. That it is bringing all those in our path into a place where the light of God is shining into their situation. If they're honest before God, they'll repent and they'll move into where they should be. And if they're rebellious, they will contend for their position. But our job is simply to be the vessel of God's perfect love. Because, as I mentioned earlier, God is a just God, a righteous God, and He will bring everyone to the point of perfect decision. In other words, their eyes will be open wide. and they will choose what they choose to do as far as their works in the days ahead. Now, I'm not taking it into a broader scale. I'm just talking about the church. God is raising up an army. But everyone here knows you can't have an army where one person is hearing a command differently than another. I can remember the school I went to, we just had a brief sort of military training, and we used to get a kick out of that because it was fun, really. But, you know, I can still remember this one chap, and God bless him, wherever he is now. He just didn't quite have it. I don't know why. But, you know, they'd stick him in this certain position. And I remember one day we were marching along, and the guy that was in command said, "Right, turn." And, of course, everybody turned right. And, of course, he went left. Well, that's the funniest looking thing. If you've ever seen that, it doesn't look too good. But anyway, the point is we need to hear the voice of our commander, and so that we're moving in perfect order. Another word from the Father, he said, in this day, as my spirit is outpoured, it will become clearly evident those who truly serve me and those who don't. Every motivation will be exposed. You know, and